That was really lovely. I liked your voice. Some people just have a great voice and you're like, I can just listen to you talk. Kind of puts you in like a therapeutic state of mind, which makes
Well,
sense.
yes, obviously, for what we're talking about, that makes complete and total sense why she is probably, I mean, she's gone through years of training with what she does.
So I guess, right, I should probably read who we
I think that
spoke
would
to.
be
Great,
helpful, yeah.
great. Okay, cool. So we just spoke to Ivania Guerrero, an experienced licensed psychotherapist specializes in supporting women navigate the intricate challenges of fertility issues and their profound impact on mental health. Drawing from her own 7-year journey through infertility, including the experience of a painful pregnancy loss, Ivania offers insights that transcend mere professional expertise. In addition to her extensive background, Ivania adopts a trauma-informed approach and utilizes somatic work as a therapeutic modality. This method allows her to integrate a nuanced understanding of the nervous system's impact, acknowledging the intricate interconnectedness of mind, body, and spirit. Furthermore, Ivania has cultivated expertise in womb healing, offering specialized support to women in healing and nurturing their reproductive health. Within her practice, she skillfully guides women through transformative journeys, embracing a holistic approach. Through collaborative efforts, she empowers and works with her clients towards healing and resilience.
We'd love to hear it.
We love to hear it.
It's a beautiful conversation. It was, when we tackle taboo topics like this,
Or harder topics, yeah.
right? Trigger warning for anybody listening. We do talk about child loss, pregnancy loss,
Sexual assault.
all of that very, very tender topics. It can be a little uncomfortable at first. And I think you might hear that in our voices. But then as, again, we build that.
Trust.
Yeah, I don't even want to say that wall of trust. We build that trust. We build the cloud of trust that we can sit comfortably upon. You'll see it'll start to warm up and it'll really start to flow. I
Yeah.
always appreciate when somebody feels comfortable to be vulnerable and to share their story. I don't think that's something we should ever overlook because a lot of these things are very difficult to have to go through. And so to have to share it time and time again
Yeah.
requires you to open the wound a little. I mean, you could be what you consider to be completely and fully healed from something and having to talk about it. Maybe on a day you catch the sunlight just right and it burns the ant pile. You know what I mean? So big shout out and thanks that she's willing to talk about her own journey and provide advice to you and
People that are
I.
going through their journeys. So we talk about so much in this episode. Of course, we talk a lot about womb healing and what that means. We talk about her somatic work and helping women through their pregnancy loss and infertility through connecting with your body. We talk a lot about mental health, which is so beautiful, and we love doing that. And we talk about techniques that can heal and support your mental health, which is really, really important as well. We also, kind of talked about the idea of the partner aspect of things. And like you and I spoke about in the episode, this is something that I think is often overlooked because we go, well, women have the womb to give the child and birth the child. Men don't. So we often forget that if in a heterosexual relationship, that men are also dealing with grief. So we kind of spoke about how we can help the partner and how the partner can therefore help their partner who's going through it, because it is an underlooked thing and they do feel emotions. The opposite gender do have a lot of emotions and we can't say that they don't. So I really enjoyed that part of the conversation. It's funny, you asked it and I had written that question down to start it. And then we also kind of talked about why we're disconnected from our womb. She even walks us through a really beautiful moment of us and a technique that she does with her clients. So I hope that hits other people. I felt very strongly about it. I love taking moments of kind of silence and checking in. So I think you can expect just a lot of beauty and truth from this episode. It was just a really lovely conversation. I love a lovely conversation. Who doesn't? It was a great morning. So everybody out there, I hope that you enjoy our conversation with Ivania Guerrero.
Welcome to Break the Cycle. We are your cycle breakers and hosts, Emily Palacios and Stephanie Laverty. We are here to have honest and thought-provoking conversations that inspire you to break the cycle of generational traumas, mental health, societal pressures, women's health, toxic relationships, and most importantly, make our 15-year-old selves proud of the person we have become. In each episode, we will be joined by an expert to empower you through education, and at the end of each episode, answer questions or advice sent in by you, our listeners. So get ready to take the first step in your journey to break the cycle.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ivania. I'm really, really excited. Like I said before we hit record, I love when we get guest recommendations from previous guests. So I already know this is going to be a really great episode. So to get us into it, I always like to start at the very beginning because every story has its similarities, every story has its differences, and it's so interesting to hear. I need to know, what made you get into this field?
So I started in the mental health field. I must have been a freshman. I knew that I had like this deep calling to work in the helping field. I went straight from high school to college to master's, you know, so I'm a Virgo. I knew exactly, I was very disciplined. And right after I got my master's program, I did most of my training in trauma. So I did domestic violence trauma, working with women and children and how that impacts them. Then I went into community mental health, and I also specialized with children and families and how physical, sexual, and emotional trauma impacts them as well. And then during this process, I got married. I started, you know, wanting to have children, and I led myself into realizing that I was having significant challenges. So I started to go through infertility. It took me 7 years to get pregnant. And during that process, I went into discovering different holistic modalities. And that is what ignited my passion for working with women that are going through the journey that I experienced. I'm on the other side now. I have two beautiful, healthy children that I'm so grateful to have. The way that I define it to others is like, I was suffering. I had like this deep loss in my heart. And so during that process, I did a lot of like just very holistic types of therapy that I will share a little bit later. During that process, I just, you know, it started to reignite like womb healing, connecting to my womb. I didn't realize, now that I'm on the other side, I didn't realize how disconnected I was from my body. So a lot of somatic therapy, just connecting to the body. Again, it was just a lot about connection to myself through my body. And so now I have a practice that I work with women and partners and couples that are going through this process as well, and supporting them with womb healing, womb awakening, as I like to call it, and anything that I can be of service. A lot of my clients are going through grief and loss, regardless of the fact that they have children or not, just the miscarriage, pregnancy loss. So that's where I specialize, and that's how I got into it. So it started just naturally, where I was feeling it in my heart that I wanted to be of service. But the real ignited passion was like when I went through my challenge. So I feel like my mission in life is to serve women.
You know, I think that's such a big part of being a professional in your chosen field, is you come across people who have never experienced any of what they're teaching, and you can kind of tell that they're just regurgitating from a book. But when you meet someone who's gone through it, there's a different level of
enthusiasm,
I don't even know the word.
Passion.
Yeah, there's a different level there and feeling there that you can tell. It's like a calmness to it, of almost like, I've ridden through the storm and come out on the other side. I'm going to help you go through it. You know, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. It's always so funny to me too. Like I was saying before, it's always funny to hear the differences and similarities in all of our guest stories. And I would say 99.9% of the time we have a guest that's coming on and saying the reason that they got into it is because they themselves dealt with the issue and then felt the calling to help other people. And I think that's what makes our guests so special, is because they are coming from a space of having that passion themselves because they've been through it. So they're coming from dealing with it themselves and being able to share their knowledge and what they've experienced. And I think that just makes it so much more of a safe space for your clients and the people that you can connect with, because you're not saying it from a space of, which is something that we always talk about on the show. I never want somebody to feel like I'm talking down to them. I want them to feel like I'm talking at their level, to them, not at them, but to them, right? That's something that I tell my students in the classroom at all. I don't want to be standing up here doing a lecture. That's not how I run my classroom at all. This is a discussion-based class where we're going to talk to one another and discuss the topic, not me lecture at you, because what learning is going to happen if I'm just, like Steph said, like vomiting or regurgitating information to you? Nothing happens. So you're talking from an openness that is such a beautiful space to help others cultivate, you know, their own journey with the idea of grief and loss.
Yes, yes. And for everyone, it's so unique, you know, like infertility, you're definitely going through the challenge towards motherhood, but each client that I see, their path is so unique and how it presents in the body, how, you know, and, you know, if they get to the other side or not, what I have discovered that, or what I desired and I hope to offer to my clients is finding the peace and the calmness, right, through the process. So that's the intention, to like go through it, but to have some level of peace, support, regardless, because now I'm on the other side, right? I'm a mom, and finding my peace, finding my, you know, level of calmness during that process as well as a new mom.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So we were talking about this idea of emotional healing, right? And emotions impacting our body, and grief and loss is a big emotion to deal with for so many. You know, even the idea of, like you're saying, infertility, it's the idea, because we're women, we grew up in a society where we were told that our job is to be mothers, right? It's still the big stereotype that most of us are having to combat if we choose not to, or whatever it may be. So the idea of maybe even being told that you can't do this or can't have the option is grief and loss, in a part that even people, I think women that don't even want children, to hear that is still, you're dealing with so much emotion, because even subconsciously, you probably have been told or shown your life from society that that was your part to play. So how does infertility affect your mental health? And then how do you help your clients deal with that?
So most of my clients, you know, are impacted with severe depression, anxiety, and the way that it impacts them, the way that it shows up and manifests in their body is just by really disconnecting from others, you know, isolating themselves, feeling feelings of inadequacy, their identity, like you mentioned earlier, just really questioning who they are. If they had, you know, it could be society, what they viewed as, you know, being, or if they just really felt that they wanted to be mothers, they had like this deep knowing inside of themselves that they wanted to be mothers. And that, you know, starts to break them down, you know, like, who am I if I don't become a mother? So just that level of disconnect from themselves, and it causes so much stress in the relationship. So I do see couples that come, you know, to see me, and they are very supportive of each other, but they're both going through their own pain. So while they're going through their own pain, you know, they just start to, you know, disconnect from each other, and the communication starts to break down. And one thing that I also wanted to make sure to note that sometimes is not talked about is that both partners, whether it's, you know, most of the time the attention goes onto the woman, which is absolutely, but, you know, if it's the other partner, whether it's a man or not, they also, sometimes men have a deep calling to also be fathers, and they have that desire. And sometimes their emotions do not get addressed immediately as well. So that kind of starts to break down that disconnect as well. And if they do go through the path of like assisted fertility with IVF or IUIs, that is a significant cost, you know, financial stressor that most, you know, individuals don't go into it like having this large sum of money, like just lying around for it. So that is another stressor that causes anxiety onto the relationship, onto the individual. So those are to name a few. And just, you know, like we talked about the grief and the loss, about, you know, yourself as a person on the evolution of who you are, miscarriages, pregnancy loss, stillbirths, you know, these are things that there's so much more awareness now. When I went through it, it's been about, you know, 7 to probably 10 years now ago when I started the process, and there wasn't too much talk about it. So now I feel that there's a lot more awareness about it. There's a lot more support groups when I was going through it, I did not attend a support group. Maybe there was support groups, but I was so lost in my pain. You know, I didn't feel like sharing my pain with others. I have an example for you that, you know, was somewhat recent. So I went through IVF. That's the path that I chose, or that I felt like was going to get me to my children. So I was very resistant to even the thought of it, you know, like I wanted to just, how come I'm not getting pregnant? Like, why is it not working? There's nothing wrong with me. So my thought process was like, I will get pregnant. You know, that's kind of where I went with it. So year after year, it wasn't happening. So I think I was like 5 years into it, maybe, that I finally decided. I did go early on to a doctor that had the worst bedside manners. He's like, you will never get pregnant without IVF. And it just, like, I was distraught. I was so, like, it was terrible. And that probably caused some of my insecurity. But after that, I was like, no, that's not true. I'm still going to get pregnant naturally or without IVF. And so it didn't happen. I surrendered to my process and I accepted it. So I went forth and I got support. I had an amazing doctor. And during that process, I had three embryos. So I did one round of IVF. I had three embryos. My first was a miscarriage. So I took a lot of time off after that. So years of trying, then my first pregnancy ever was a miscarriage. It was extremely painful. Then the second one was my son. And I was just so grateful, so happy to have him. And I had my son during the pandemic in 2020. So, you know, I was actually very blessed because I was able to cultivate a community, even though it was, it was like the pandemic time. So I made some friends online. You know, we were all pregnant around the same time. And we have kids that are literally the same age. So it was really beautiful. We would go to the parks and we would mask. And after that process, we developed a beautiful community together. And it was about a year. My son was about a year old. And I decided I still have one embryo. And when you're going through this process, I really attached. Like, I felt like I knew the sex of the embryo. So I felt very connected and very attached to having this, you know, possible other child. I was okay with the possibility of it not working, but I wanted to attempt. I wanted to give a sibling to my child. And I, you know, had these girlfriends. I was so happy, you know, to develop this community. And I'm going through this process again. They did not know me before having a child. So they just know me like, we met her and she has a baby. They didn't know my journey. So we scheduled to celebrate birthdays. And they were, you know, they were excited to celebrate birthdays. I was, you know, happy and, you know, like going through the process. But I hadn't shared with anyone that I was going to have another transfer. It just coincided that my birthday celebration, it was, you know, was going to be around the IVF transfer. So the other thing that sometimes people don't realize is they're so time sensitive, these shots and injections. They're time sensitive. And the same night that I was going to celebrate my birthday with these friends, I had to give myself a shot. And it had to be exactly at 9 p.m. Was just the feelings crept up. So here I am already a mom and these feelings of like shame and just, you know, like not wanting to share with these new friends, right? They start to creep up again. And I was just getting severe anxiety myself. So anyways, I ended up sharing with one of them. We had fun. I got home by 9. to give myself my injection. I'm just sharing that it's just, you know, even if you have a child, it's like our, like the secondary infertility, as they call it, can, you know, still be so present and alive for you.
Can I ask, what was your fear about sharing with these new friends? Did you feel like they weren't going to accept it, or you just wanted privacy? Like, what was the fear there?
Yeah. So the fear, you know, for me was just, you know, being vulnerable. You know, it's like when you're going through this journey, it's like you're so raw inside. You know, it's something that you deeply desire. And, you know, for me, at least, it was about, you know, like breaking down. Like, I didn't want to, you know, like release all of my fears and emotions. And just that, like the emotional stressor that was in my body. So I'm sharing this just because this is a part of what women go through and how it impacts your mental health, right? Like, it's like feeling so anxious, right? To like even socialize where, you know, they're beautiful community of friends that would not judge me. But it was just my own emotional stress that I was also carrying in my body that didn't allow me to be vulnerable. I did share. So, you know, I did allow myself, but I was very resistant to it.
I asked that because a friend of mine went through quite a serious jump in her life. She was married and then ended up getting divorced. And we didn't know any of this until close to a year later after she had gone through everything. And I asked her, I said, you know, we were here, we wanted to help you. Like, what was the deal? She said, I couldn't even help myself. And so asking for anybody else's help was nearly impossible. And so that was kind of like the first peek into, because I'm very like, call a friend immediately. I want to, you know, as you can tell by our podcast, we air out our own stuff constantly, but it never occurred to me. Oh, I mean, I knew obviously you want to keep some things private, but I just was never like that. So speaking to her helped put it into a perspective where it's like, she's like, it's not a personal attack towards you. It's just some people can't, they have to be able to center themselves to go through what they're going through. And external stuff is sometimes too much stimulant. It's already stimulated enough by your own situation. And so, yeah, that vulnerability, I can imagine that's tough to push past that. When you did finally get past it, did you feel like a little bit better about that or?
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. That's the beauty, right? Like, yeah. When you have to like face your fear, face through it, you know, the other side is welcoming, is yeah, my friends were amazing. And, you know, and the one that I specifically told kind of allowed me like the segue to like, you know, say it or not. And then once I was there, you know, like I did share, even when I shared, it was still like, now the expectation is like, you know, also to share more later and you maybe don't want to, but I was happy to share. You know, at the end of it all.
Right. It's also nice too when you sit with someone who isn't just, because, you know, sometimes you get the feeling when someone, I always equate it to this, when someone says, oh, you know, so and so passed away. Oh, I'm so sorry. What happened? And you're like, do you actually want to know what happened because your heart hurts or you just being nosy and you want the tea. And that was something I learned to like even push past in myself, because I had a tendency to be like, oh my God, what happened? Because I'm nosy. And I was like, maybe I just don't ask and I just say my condolences. And I started doing it. And the more I started doing it, the more I started to realize like how little of my business it actually was. And that being there for someone doesn't mean that you have to know every single detail of the hardship they're going through. And so like, I like that you said that your friend kind of gave you that option of you can share if you want to, but just know I'm here. There's no pressure. And I think that almost gives permission for someone to say, okay, I feel like I'm safe and I can trust that you're not just trying to like dig into my personal business for gossip. I think that's really, really, really important.
How much of the, yeah. Sorry, Steph.
No, I go just, ahead.
And I hope this comes out correctly. Like how much of the mental health aspect of it, right? All of this anxiety, this pressure, the vulnerability piece, how much of that do you think actually affects like the chances of the embryo taking, if we're taking it from like a holistic approach where, you know, you have to kind of be in the perfect homeostasis, or, you know, some people would say, or whatever it may be able to achieve this thing that you want. How much does the mental health aspect of it then play in? I hope that makes sense. I just kept thinking about that when you were talking.
Yeah. So, you know, really it's so important. It's so important for your body to be receptive. So when you are in a state of calmness, when you are in a state of, you know, as you're saying, homeostasis, that's when you're more receptive for the process. So, you know, that's why I actively seeking out, because I really needed that, you know, that physical support. I felt the tension in my body, which is, you know, where I can share a little bit about some of the techniques that
that was going to be my next question.
Yeah. So some of the, you know, that has significant, you know, impact. So it's somatic and womb healing. So these are both that I practice with clients currently. And so the somatic therapy is about the mind-body connection and the sensations that are in your body. And the way that I work with it is just also intuitively supporting my client to connect to their body wisdom through their intuition. So it's a really powerful technique to just kind of also get out of the mind, the cognitive behavioral therapy, which is traditional, which is also effective, but it's really, when you're in this process of infertility, it's really important to tap into the body, because you have, you know, whether it's, you know, you're just trying for a few months or you're years into infertility. And infertility, you know, I'm talking about miscarriages as well. I'm talking about pregnancy loss. When your body has gone through such trauma of trying to conceive, and you're experiencing loss after loss, and loss meaning that maybe the loss of just not getting pregnant that month, your body starts to absorb this tension, and the tension gets, you know, pretty much stuck in different parts of our body. So I just support my clients to really connecting to their body. And a lot of my clients, and I will say for myself, are disconnected. You know, I remember when I started my process, my clinician mentioned, like, okay, let's, you know, tell me what are you feeling, any sensations? And I was, what do you mean? I don't feel anything, you know? So connecting to my body was really, really a challenge. Now I'm on the other side. Like, I feel everything in my body. So it definitely works, and you can get there. So yes, I would say that it's really, you know, it's profound. You know, it's a profound practice to really start connecting. And womb healing is, you know, I can actually share something with you guys, you know, that we can do together. So if you can just, you know, get the palms of your hands, just kind of like if you want to rub them or not, and just place them on your womb space on your lower abdomen. And we're just going to invite yourself to be present with your womb. So if you can invite yourself to really feel into the womb space, and this is for anybody, you don't have to be going through infertility. This is about, so let me backtrack a little bit. So this is about, the womb is where you give birth, right? You give birth to children, you give birth to projects, you give birth to business, right? So it just, it's that. Like creation. So this is the womb space. And for a man, it's called Hara. And this is also the portal. It's the portal of activating. That part is your life force. So when you connect to your womb, so now let's go back to the practice, you know, just putting your palms on your womb and just like sensing that space. I invite you to breathe in to the womb space and hold the breath for a few seconds, feel the energy, and then release it through the womb. So it's a beautiful practice to just reconnect to that space and to allow yourself to feel your creativity, feel your power. So that is something that I practice daily for myself and for my clients, you know, supporting them in that way. That will definitely ignite you to start feeling your power. And, you know, some of the other techniques that I also utilize with clients is about guided visualization of the womb. So sometimes when you're going through this challenge of infertility, you know, you need a sense of renewal in that space. So just feeling like the warmth and the light of that womb space, and just cleansing and clearing it with your intention, with your intuitive body wisdom, is really powerful. Another practice that I really do feel is powerful for me is just connecting in nature, but in ceremony. So I have clients that we meet out in nature, and we just connect to the elements, connecting to, you know, to the groundedness of Mother Nature, connecting to the sunlight on your skin, feeling, you know, just like the breeze on your skin, and just really inviting that into your body, inviting that feeling of nature, that strength, that grounded nature into the womb as well. So actually another one that actually I incorporate in my practice with clients if they feel called to it. So like I had mentioned earlier, when you're going through this infertility, for me, I felt like I was suffering. So it was so, so, so deep, my pain, that I needed to connect on a higher level, like spiritually. So So I grew up Catholic, but I am not a practicing Catholic, but I definitely felt the connection to the Virgin Mary. So I work with that energy of the divinity of the Virgin Mary. And so I have a lot of clients that feel that they want to connect through that energy as well. So the divinity of Virgin Mary. So that is another beautiful practice, you know, that feels right for a client.
I love that you said that, because I mentioned that I'm a recovering Catholic because I had a bit of trauma around growing up Catholic. But the one thing I took away from it was my love for the Virgin Mary. And to me, it was always that in a very male dominated space where I felt I had to worship something that was not of what I felt was a womanly presence, I always turned to the Virgin Mary instead. And so I have her in my home, right when you walk in, by my keys. And it's a beautiful reminder. And I think that's so great that that's something that you still practice, because in a way, she's the original mother, if you're going to look at it like that. And there's something so beautiful about just her presence. It was hard to explain to people. I was like, it's not a religious thing for me. It's more of a spiritual thing for me. Like, it's my connection to Mother Earth. It's the way that I feel about my own power and divinity as a woman. So I had to, because I was like, oh, and I looked over here because I normally have her on my bedroom wall. That was in my old home.
I saw you.
You saw
look.
Me look. Yeah.
Yep, I knew exactly what you were looking at.
But I have her by my front door now. But now I feel like she needs to be right in front of me at my work desk as a reminder to myself, because my boyfriend don't need to look at her. So I think that's beautiful. And I think that is, you know, whatever you feel called to. Again, it's that inviting that permission. It's whatever you feel connected to. I'll kind of share a quick story, and it ties into a question I did want to ask you earlier, that you had mentioned something about, you know, when a woman goes through child loss, but the husband or the partner, how they feel as well, often gets neglected. So someone I know went through losing a very wanted baby, and it was rough. It was rough. It changed the way that they went through a mourning period. And another friend of mine asked, you know, they reached out to each other, and the one said, "How'd you get through it?" And my other friend said, "It's totally up to you." She said, "But I prayed," because she had gone through it too. She goes, "So whatever that means to you, it doesn't have to be religious prayer, but it's turning into yourself or finding that within that center within yourself, that calm." And something I wanted to say was, while that was good advice and it helped my friend, their partner isn't as connected with that school of thought. So my question that I think I'm trying to ask is, how do we help? I've never gone through it, and so I might not necessarily have the correct words or the tact in the way that I communicate with someone who has gone through it. What advice could you give to me, an outsider, to be able to give comfort, or I guess lend an ear? It's just hard because I can see the change in this person, and it's hard to watch because our dynamic has shifted, I feel, because of it, but I don't know the right words to say to offer comfort, because I've not gone through it, and I don't want to disregard their feelings about what they're going through, because I can only assume how it would feel in my mind, having not actually gone through it. It's like, oh, well, time's passed, you know, it's like, look at all the things you have, but that feels very dismissive. So I guess my question, long story even longer, what advice could you give to someone who hasn't been through it to be there for someone who is going through it?
So I think that just, you know, your intention, right? Just allowing them, they shared this with you is what I'm hearing, right?
Yes. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they share this with you. So just allowing, you know, you to share with them that I'm here when you need me. You know, I think that it's really important to show up to friends by letting them know, like, I'm here, you know, I want to support you, but whenever you're feeling ready. So just like showing up that way without any intention, like, I'm sorry, without any agenda of your own, right? So you're just really there for them, and they will feel that, right? They will feel your intention is to just love and support them. And when they're ready, they will turn to you. Were you mentioning more so like the partner was a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the questions that I have, because the partner aspect, we always forget about it. I mean, this is a female-centered podcast. Most of our listeners are women, but there's a whole other side in the world made up of males and everybody then in between. And they also are dealing with this idea, right? And they also need support. So like, how can somebody support the partner who's there going, therefore going through it? And then how can the partner also, this was the part of my question, support the person through this process?
I was always very conscious, not always actually, let me just scratch that. I wasn't always conscious of my partner's pain, but when I wasn't in the moment of my pain, I would check in with my partner. So that's kind of why I mentioned it here also, because as you know, I know the audience is mainly females, but some of us are in partnership with a male, you know, so just remembering that, you know, they also may have, you know, deep emotions about it. And they sometimes may not share because they don't want to burden, you know, us as a woman, because we're already going through so much during the process physically, right? Physically in our body. So I think that's why sometimes, you know, the partners that are male maybe get put to the side because it's not in their body. But I would check in a lot with my husband. And, you know, I think it's just that, you know, that support. Again, you know, I see couples that come together and it's a disconnect. So once they start to invite, you know, like, how are you feeling about it? The connection starts to reintegrate with each other. So it's kind of like slowing down and noticing like, okay, I'm here in the present moment and my partner is here as well. Like, how do I check in with them, with him or her? And I think that really does like bring the partnership together a little bit more. So yeah, just, you know, that and the intention of, you know, as a friend, as a supportive person, to just giving them the space and allowing them. And then maybe, you know, with time, you know, when you're feeling, I think it's also about a feeling, like if you feel like he's ready, you know, you might want to just, sometimes they might not bring it up, but if you feel the intention is right, might want to ask, you know, like, hey, how are you doing about this? It might give him like the opening to share.
It's important because I think we often overlook the partner because they're not the one that are physically going through it. And I can't think of the word currently, but where I've always been like, well, you know, they didn't go through it, so what are they so upset about? And it's, I think that's just so unfair to their feelings. And that's a whole other episode we can get into about, I think that's just a societal thing that we're raised as women to think X, Y, and Z. Men are raised to think X, Y, and Z. And I think those are just cultural and societal and generational norms that we're realizing aren't very normy.
Helpful.
And that we need to start breaking those.
Yeah. I mean, I have so many great questions that listeners wrote in, but I do really want to ask, because I always find this so interesting. I love any episode that we kind of focus on women's health, just because I feel like I learned so much more about my body and I get to therefore get connected to it, where maybe 10 years ago, I haven't been as connected. So why do you feel like women are so disconnected from their womb, from their bodies?
So, you know, I feel that sometimes, at least for me, you know, it could be our upbringing, could be trauma that we experience, you know, could be some form of, you know, sexual trauma, could be, you know, emotional trauma, growing up, just, you know, in our households, how we grew up, not, you know, feeling maybe shame about our bodies. So those are just to name a few as to like why we could be disconnected from our bodies. And because we're such a fast paced world, right? So like, we don't tune in to feel our body. You know, I mean, when my therapist asked me, like, what do you feel in your body? It was a moment of, I had to sit there and, you know, I was actually lying down on a massage table. And it was, you know, mental. It was mental. Like, you know, what does that mean? But I didn't slow down to check in, right? So it's about slowing down also and to feel the sensations that are going in our body. So every emotion gets tied to a part of our bodies. And that's the beauty of the somatic therapy. And that's the beauty of connecting to the womb, because it allows us to release some of that stagnant tension, trauma, that due to whatever experience we may have had in our lives, you know, just got stored into our body.
I always find that question so interesting, and everyone answers it just a little bit differently, but very similarly at the same time, because I wish I had an answer that, of course, we could like flip the switch and then everyone's connected and understands. But unfortunately, I think it is like kind of just really debunking and like taking time with yourself and understanding that that is really the most important thing. Like, if that's one thing I could teach my younger self, and something that I try and teach my nieces, is like, just connect with you. If you don't like somebody, you don't have to hang out with them. Like, that's how that goes. Well, this has been lovely. I have absolutely some really great questions from people. Steph, you kind of asked something that somebody asked, so I'll get to that after. I'll start with, so this person writes in, I miscarried 3 weeks ago at almost 7 weeks. It was our first and we were so excited. Our grieving time has mostly passed and now we are just waiting for my cycle to start so we can try again. I feel like the most paranoid person on the planet. Has anyone else miscarried on the first pregnancy and are on a second successful pregnancy or already have children? What emotions should I expect during the second pregnancy? What should I look for in terms of good symptoms and bad symptoms? Benefits of taking progesterone? Any sort of input is so appreciated.
So yeah, I just, you know, I feel her. It's so hard. I know she's looking for an answer, but it's really just about, you know, inviting herself to be where she's at, right? Allowing herself to feel whatever feeling comes up with the next pregnancy. That's so, so important, not to kind of like have a preset, oh, you know, I might feel this, or just, you know, maybe she feels calmness, you know, with the second one, or maybe she does have some levels of anxiety, but just allowing herself to be where she's at is so important. What was the other question that she had? Just, you know,
the like other what? Part of the question is, what should she look for in terms of good or bad symptoms? Are there benefits of taking progesterone? She just feels very paranoid, she said.
So good or bad symptoms, something that I can just quickly share about that was, you know, when I got pregnant, you know, actually all three pregnancies that I did have, I didn't have any symptoms, none. And I thought something was really wrong with me. I thought I was supposed to get nauseous. You know, here I am, like all these years of trying to get pregnant, and I'm like, I don't have any symptoms.
I feel great.
Yeah. So I would say that, you know, the first one, obviously I had a miscarriage, no symptoms. Second one was my healthy son, no symptoms. So I feel her. I feel her because we want some answers.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to go through the journey. So that's hard, you know, that's hard to kind of like sit with it and just allow yourself, you know, the patience and the grace of just staying with that emotion and the uncertainty of it. There's no way out of it until you just kind of go through it. So
it's my favorite.
That's what Stephanie says all the time.
Beating a dead horse at this point, I've said this so many times. When I went through anxiety recovery, the biggest phrase that I was told is the only way out is through. And the level of acceptance you have to have, like, anxiety wants answers. And sometimes you can't give it answers. And the only answer you can give it is, we're just going to have to figure it out if it happens. You know, like my partner was like, wonder if one of us gets sick. And I was like, then we figure it out when we, I've survived every rough thing that I've ever gone through in my entire life up until this current moment. So I figured it out. I'm going to continue to figure it out. You just have to go through it. And sometimes it sucks and it's super uncomfortable.
Yeah. There's really not much else we can do though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is in those moments is to just tell someone, I don't have an answer for you, but luckily there are many people who have gone through probably something exactly like this, and having that support and having somebody like you, right, who can kind of coach and guide through your own experiences, I think is a beautiful thing. I think people in those situations perhaps just are looking for comfort, even just momentary. And then I think as you continue to learn to accept, right, the acceptance piece, giving yourself grace, space, and acceptance, that's when I think all the pieces start to fold together. And you're like, meh, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to figure it out, you know? And there's a sense of calm, eerie calm to that, that I'm like, meh, I'll figure it out, you know? So,
and it's an ongoing practice, you know,
for literally any part of any journey,
anything even, ever,
yeah, anything in life.
Yeah.
It's just, we're going to figure it out. That's it. All right, Steph, you kind of asked this, but I will ask it for this person. So I have never wanted children. I truly don't know what the appeal is at all. I have a friend who is going through IVF and using egg donors. I'm trying to be very careful as to not trigger or upset her or put my foot in my mouth. She's confiding in me a lot, and she knows I truly don't get it. And so I won't judge her or feed her false hope or platitudes. If I'm not overstepping or forcing anyone, I would love to be educated. How would you advise me to help her as best as I can, who truly cannot relate to her because I am worried for her mental state?
So, you know, as long as this friend that, you know, it sounds like this, she doesn't have to be feeling what her friend is feeling, but just allowing herself to show the unconditional support, right? And she's already, at least from hearing this, you know, she's already doing that by just emailing in or sending a message asking, how do I support my friend, right? Because I care for her deeply. So just presenting herself and making herself available, you know, I think that speaks volumes. You know, I would get text messages from dear friends that I would share, like when I was going through the IVF process, you know, that this lady is going through, and just, you know, like, hey, I'm here for you. Like, I started to, like, my tears would roll down, you know. It's like, really, it's about the intention that your friend shows up for you, right? So just, you know, there's, of course, words are very significant, but maybe just not saying, you know, not giving advice, but just like, I'm here for you. Like, I love you. Let me know what you need. You know, do you need me to bring you lunch or dinner? Just those simple acts of kindness. They're just so powerful when you're going through this. So I think that something just, you know, just like, she's already doing so much by like wanting to support her. So yeah, just, you know, maybe a phone call like, hey, you know, do you want to meet up after your appointment? Was there anything that, you know, you felt you need? Can I grab you breakfast next morning? Or, you know, just inviting her and just listening, right? Maybe not saying much, just like open heart, showing up as a friend and seeing where her friend is and just being present.
I love all of those answers. And I know that they helped the people out there, which just is the whole point. So thank you for helping them. That makes me happy. This has been, like I said, lovely. I hope it meted or succeeded your expectations, since I'm sure Tana told you a little bit about the experience, but it's been lovely. I love talking about women's health. I think it's really cool. We have cool bodies that do cool things.
So I always love to ask this question because we know where to find you, but where can other people find you? And do you have any interesting projects coming up that we should be keeping our wombs open for?
I like that. So you can find me at fertilesoulawakening.com.
That's beautiful. Just that whole title immediately makes me feel like I'm on a cloud.
Yeah. So I was very triggered with the word infertility. So I just, yeah, you know, like I would go to the doctor's office and I would see like infertility, you know, I'm like, I'm not infertile. So just that word, you know, it's like, and infertility for me is just like, there's fertility of life, right? Like just like fertile beings, like we're always creating, right? So like you guys are creating this awesome podcast. It's like we're just creative beings. So yeah, that's kind of where the name came from. So that's definitely, you know, they can reach out. They can, my email will be on there. And yeah, some fun projects is, you know, I have some grief circles that, you know, I live in California, but I do virtual sessions. And if they are in the Glendale, Pasadena, Los Angeles area, I will have some in-person sessions in addition to some grief circles if anybody is interested and lives locally.
Love that. All of the links and all of the information I'll be put down below. And then if you don't know who we are, what are you living under a rock? You can go to cyclechats.com. It's the easiest way to find all of our fun stuff, our newsletter, our YouTube, our TikTok, our Instagram, so on and so forth, past episodes. Thank you so much for taking time to listen. Thank you so much for taking your time to come onto our show. I really, really appreciate it. And hopefully people will find this helpful. I know it was helpful for us. And as we continue to say, we hope you continue to sync up with us.